you. So last week we talked about forerunners. A definition for the forerunner is a person or thing that precedes the coming or development of someone or something else. We talked about this, that a priest is not a forerunner. A priest is a representative. Does anybody remember the definition for a priest? Anybody? Someone that represents God to the people and that represents the people to God. So a forerunner is not a priest. A priest is a representative from the Old Testament. And we know that when the priests went into the Holy of Holies, nobody could follow. But where Jesus, the forerunner, is going for heaven, what he's doing, anywhere he goes, we can go. He's preparing a place for us. So that's another difference of the forerunner. Can any of you name maybe a forerunner from history or maybe a time where you felt like you were a forerunner? Anybody? You don't have to be scared. We were in Sunday school last Sunday, and we weren't talking about this, but when Tabitha Mann shared something, it rang true to me that that was really a forerunner, and it was Paul Revere. That there was a battle coming, and he went before the people saying what? The British are coming, the British are coming. So he was a forerunner, letting them know that something was coming, and boy, it entailed battle. I thought of a forerunner, sometimes I did it to my kids, and sometimes I remember doing it for my mother. But as a child, I remember having, she'd say, go tell them if they don't get out of that street, you know, I'm coming after them. So she'd send out the forerunner. And sometimes the forerunner would put their, you know, or add to it. Mom said, if you didn't get out of the street, she's going to beat you good, you know, or add to it. We're kind of going to look at that tonight because some of that happens even in the Word. And then there's another thing that I thought of as a forerunner. The Center for Disease Control, the CDC, came out and said, hey, no longer cough in your hand or sneeze, but always use your elbow, right? They came out, forerunner that, because they don't want you passing those germs with your hands. So now we've changed how we do that because they sent out the message by forerunner. So you see those signs up in places and things. Well, tonight I want us to learn from the mistakes of some forerunners in the Bible. We're just going to look very quickly at this tonight. I want to be sure that you follow with Philippians 1:6. It says, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. So I want to be clear. You and I aren't finished until Jesus returns or he takes us home. So if we're still breathing, there's something for us to be doing. And I truly believe that he is wanting to speak to us in this time. But I also believe that the things that are going on in this world right now are meant to discourage us, to get us to believe that darkness has more power than light, to get us to take things personally because they are personally meant. And we're going to have to stay focused on who sent us and what our purpose is. And I believe that everyone in this room is called to be a forerunner. And next week, I had intended on talking about that tonight, but next week I'm going to talk about how it relates to Revelation and the coming. But you know, unless my heart is right, unless I learn from some of these other mistakes, man, have you ever had somebody tell you something and it just wasn't the right way to get the message across? Yeah, just me and three others. Okay. Well, I sure have. And so I don't want us to repeat those mistakes. So we're going to read at 2 Chronicles chapter 18. And I want to share with you, just set this up real quick. Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah, and he has sent his son to marry Ahab's daughter, and Ahab is the king of Israel. Now, Judah and Israel should be working together, right? Right? They're of God. They're the chosen people. And here they are. And now Ahab, he's invited Jehoshaphat to come, and he's throwing this big banquet for him, okay? But what Jehoshaphat doesn't know is there's an ulterior motive. We're going to look at that. Let me start here, verse 3. Ahab paid a visit to Samaria, and he celebrated his visit with a feast, a huge barbecue with all the lamb and beef you could eat. But Ahab had a hidden agenda. He wanted Jehoshaphat's support in attacking Ramoth-Gilead. But then Ahab brought it out to the open. "Will you join me in attacking Ramoth-Gilead?" Jehoshaphat said. "You bet. I'm with you all the way. You can count on me and my troops." That was Jehoshaphat's response. And then Jehoshaphat said, "But before you do anything, ask God for guidance." How many times have we agreed to do something and then we have that on second thought, maybe we should, you know, if God is the second thought, it's okay just as long as you're thinking about him. You with me? It's never too late to include God in what we're doing. The king of Israel got the prophets together, all 400 of them, and he put the question to them, "Should I attack Ramoth-Gilead or should I hold back?" Well, clearly they know what he's wanting to do, right? "Go for it," they said. "God will hand it over to the king." But Jehoshaphat dragged his feet. Sometimes I think even when we know that we should do something and we ask everybody, "Hey, let's think about this," and then they come back with the wrong answer, there's still something in us that knows it's not right. But instead of taking our authority and saying, "Hey, I just don't feel good about this," sometimes we're still looking for somebody else to validate it. And I want to encourage you tonight that even if you're just shy, even if you're just a bold-faced coward, even if you're worried about something, when you're doing it for God, guys, God still is going to use you dragging your feet. You don't have to be the one with all the answers. You just have to give him time to answer, and God's going to move on that situation. But he knew, it says in verse 6, he dragged his feet. "Is there another prophet of God around here we can consult? Let's get a second opinion." Now, he's just heard from 400. And the king of Israel told Jehoshaphat, "As a matter of fact, there is another, but I hate him. He never preaches anything good to me, only doom, doom, doom. Mahayahu is his name, and he's the son of Imlah." Now, here's the thing. Jehoshaphat comes back, and he says to him, "The king shouldn't talk about a prophet like that." Listen. Anytime we feel intimidated by God, we are putting on him something that is not in his character. God does not want us to be intimidated by him. Respect, yes, but not where we can't go to him. "Oh, I don't even consult. You know, it's just going to be doom and gloom." Well, basically what he's saying is he's not going to do what I want. And so Jehoshaphat's like, "Hey, we need this other response. We need to know." He's listened to 400 people, and he's still not at peace with himself. We need to be led. As forerunners going and sharing the word of God, you and I need to be led by peace. And there is nothing wrong. If you need a prescription, write it out tonight, and I'll sign it for you. But I give you permission not to do what you think everybody else wants to do if there's something in your spirit that's saying, "No, wait." Always wait for God. So the king, you know, Jehoshaphat's telling Ahab, "Hey, what kind of talk is that for a king? You're the one who's leading. We shouldn't be being the people who are hating and worried about things. You walk in your own authority." So the king of Israel ordered one of his men, "Quickly, get Mahayahu, son of Imlah." So meanwhile, the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat the gates, and all of the prophets' robes were resplendent in front of the Samaria city gates, and all of the prophets were staging a prophecy performance for their benefit. Have you been somewhere and you knew somebody was doing a sales job on you? Right? It's just to just entertain you and make you forget what's going on. I think kids are great at this. And I will admit that there's been times, you know, where I wanted something and I really was afraid Steve was going to say no. And I'd put on, you know, the good meal and the have everything in order, you know, because I just was putting on that right show, right? Because I wanted what I wanted. Well, this is what he's talking about. And Zedekiah, son of Kenai, had even made a set of iron horns. The horns always in the Bible represented strength. So he had made a set of iron horns and brandished them, and he called out, "God's word, with these horns you'll gore Aram until there's nothing left of them." And all the prophets chimed in, "Yes, go for Ramoth-Gilead, an easy victory, God's gift to the king." I am here to declare to you tonight that no matter who and no matter what declares that God is leading them, if their motive is hatred, if their motive is bitterness, if their motive is fault-finding, they are not of God, and they will not succeed over what God wants for your life. And I'm telling you tonight, wait on God, because God's moving and he's doing some great things. I had wanted Cynthia tonight to share her testimony. Last Wednesday night, I shared with everybody at the end, and I prayed over you, and I'm still praying and believing that this group of people in Christian Center, whatever in your heart to do, that God is going to allow you to prosper. If it's to give you a new boldness to love people that you never loved, hallelujah. If it's to give you a financial breakthrough to do whatever, hallelujah. I believe he's going to do it. If it's in your heart to do something wonderful for the kingdom of God. And guys, that may just be changing an attitude of hatred. But whatever it is, I believe God's going to do it. Well, Cynthia called me and she was just so excited. And I'm sure she's going to give this testimony sooner or later. But there was someone at work who had been taking credit for what she did. And they were in oversight over her. And this has been going on for, I won't say exactly because it could be traced back on the tape. But let me just say, God went in and Cynthia had determined she was going to do nothing. She was not going to talk about that person. She was going to trust God. And Thursday, after we prayed, she went in and that person was gone. I want to tell you something. You don't have to fight your battles because God's fighting them for you. But we do have to follow after what he's saying. I do have to. Can I just get an agreement that sometimes the hardest thing to do is to stay still? Right? But listen, you're hearing God. I want you to get this tonight. You are hearing God. You're following peace. It doesn't matter if 400 people agree with you or not. Stand faithful to what God's telling you, because you're going to bring some other people out. And it's going to be for his glory. So the messenger, verse 12, who went to Micaiah, he said, he told him, "The prophets have all said to the king, so you make it unanimous, vote yes." Some of your versions are going to say, hey, go along with this. Tell the king that there's going to be victory. Here's the thing. This forerunner was not sent to put his opinion on something. But because he didn't want conflict, because he didn't want issues down the road, because he didn't want to be put in the same place as Micaiah, he came in and said, just go ahead and do this. I'm going to give you a little tip. Don't listen to people who tell you how to please other people, because we're not pleasing God. My goal and your goal is always to please God. But Micaiah said, "As sure as God lives, what God says, I'll say." So with Micaiah before him, the king asked him, "So Micaiah, do we attack Ramoth-Gilead or do we hold back?" "Go ahead," he said. "It's an easy victory, God's gift to the king." He's being sarcastic. Just go with the flow. That's what y'all want to hear. Just leave me alone, okay? "Go ahead." Verse 15, "Not so fast," said the king. Now, see, if he knew he was right, right there he just would have said, well, praise God. You know, we got the victory. But right there, he knew what he was doing was not right. I want to tell you, this darkness that is enveloping our nation, people know what they're doing is not right, but they want you to approve it, and they want me to approve it, because we are to be representing God, and if they can get you and me to agree with it, it somehow condones some soul. And guys, we can't do it, okay? I got to say what God says. But I shouldn't be sarcastic. I shouldn't be rude. I should be listening to the Lord and saying what he says and not feeling or making excuse that I'm telling the truth of what I've heard. So here's the king, not so fast. How many times have I made you promise under oath to tell me the truth and nothing but the truth? He really knew. He just really didn't want to hear it, did he? All right, said Mahayahu, since you insist, I saw all of Israel scattered over the hills, sheep with no shepherd. Then God spoke, these poor people have no one to tell them what to do. Let them go home and do the best they can for yourselves. And the king of Israel turned to Jehoshaphat. See what I tell you. He never has a good word for me from God, only doom. That's because his opinion was nothing but what he wanted was going to be a good word. He had already determined that. When God goes against what I think is right, would you agree with me in saying that my life experience should always teach me that God knows best? And yet, how many times do we still, like little children, want what we want, when we want it, the way we want it, and we want everybody to be in agreement with us? Mahayahu kept on, I'm not done yet. Listen to God's word. I saw God enthroned and all the angel armies of heaven standing at attention, ranged on his right and his left. And God said, how can we seduce Ahab into attacking Ramoth-Gilead? Some said this and some said that. Then a bold angel stepped out, stood before God and said, I'll seduce him. And how will you do it? God said. Easy, said the angel. I'll get all the prophets to lie. That should do it, said God. On your way, seduce him. And that's what happened. God filled the mouths of your puppet prophets with seductive lies, and God has pronounced your doom. Just then Zedekiah, son of Kenai, came up and slapped Mahayahu in the face, saying, since when did the Spirit of God leave me and take up with you? Guys, this is one of those perfect times where I'm telling you, you don't have to defend yourself if you're speaking what God says. You don't have to defend yourself. And certainly, I don't have to go into the ways of the world to get somebody to believe me. He operated outside of the character of God because he wanted to make a big point because he's just been made a fool of. Because he's been told, these people are lying to you. They're just saying what you want to hear. And Mahayahu, I've got to remember how to say that right. He said, you'll know soon enough. You'll know it when you're frantically and futilely looking for a place to hide. The king of Israel had heard enough. Get Mahayahu out of here. Turn him over to Ammon, the city magistrate, and to Joash, the king's son, with this message. King's order. Lock him up in jail and keep him on bread and water until I'm back in one piece. And Mahayahu said, if you ever get back in one piece, I'm no prophet of God. And he added, when it happens, O people, remember where you heard it. Listen, I don't have to be right. You can do what you want to me, but I want you to understand. This is how he's saying it. I don't care if you believe me or not, and I don't care if you think I'm right. But what I'm telling you is from God. And I think that when we share things, especially with our family members, our close family members, we can say, you would think, wouldn't you, that people have learned that your motive is love? But a lot of people don't care. They just want to hear what they want to hear because sin is rebellion to God because we want something to please us more than we want to please God. That's just a capsule definition. But people want what they want. If you're really looking out for the things of God, before you become a forerunner, before you go, you and I both need to check our hearts and say, God, is there something in me that wants to set people straight or set people free? Am I wanting to be the big deal who gets to be the mouthpiece of God? Because if so, I need to go with fear and trembling. Make sure that you love those people before you go to them. Make sure that your best interest is for those people because I'm going to tell you, they're going to know it in their hearts. What our motive is when we're led. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went ahead and attacked Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, wear my kingly robe. I'm going into battle disguised. So the king of Israel entered the battle in disguise. Here's another way we know he knew he was wrong. Because now he's going in disguise and he's telling Jehoshaphat, you go ahead and wear the kingly robe. I'm just going to hold back. Why? Because he knew. He knew he was wrong, and he didn't want to take responsibility. So when the chariot commanders, verse 30. So meanwhile, the king of Aram had ordered his chariot commanders, there were 32 of them, don't bother with anyone, whether great or small, go after the king of Israel and him only. When the chariot commander saw Jehoshaphat, they said, there he is, the king of Israel. And they took after him. And Jehoshaphat yelled out, and the chariot commanders realized they had the wrong man. It wasn't the king of Israel after all. And God intervened and let him go. You don't have to worry. Please hear what I'm telling you tonight. When you are wanting to do the right things, even if you get caught up the wrong way, I believe when we serve God and we call out, God is still going to make a way for you. Once you realize you've been duped, you can still call out to him. I don't see a time limit, and I don't see any place in the Bible where when people call out, God says, I will not hear you, except those who've already been sent to hell. And we know that one time where he said, there's nothing we can do. God is still merciful. So call out even when you think you've blown it. Just then, in this verse 33, without aiming, someone shot an arrow into the crowd and hit the king of Israel in the chink of his armor. And the king told his charioteer, turn back, get out of here, I'm wounded. All day the fighting continued, hot and heavy. Propped up in his chariot, the king watched from the sidelines, and he died that evening. Here's what I want you to see. There's three things out of 2 Chronicles 18. When you are sent by man, like in verse 12, it's still going to be optional how you're going to go when you're sent by man. You can go in obedience, you can go with your own thoughts, or you can go in obedience and be honest. And I want to tell you, if you're working for someone and you don't agree with what they're asking you to do, you've got a choice. You can say, God, I'm just going to be obedient. I'm going to go in there and do this, and I'm going to do it as unto you. You can go in there and you can just add what you think about it. Or I can go into the person and be honest and say to them, I can't be in agreement with this, but if you're asking me to do this, if you're telling me to do this as my employer, I'll do it. But I want to be clear that it's not my what I want, it's what you want, and I'll be obedient to you. That's harder, isn't it? But we need to be honest, because you can't go in and judge and criticize people just because someone tells you to do it. It's so quiet. I'll just keep going. The problem is we don't want conflict. You know, like the little kid who adds what they want to say when mom tells you to do something, and you go out and you say, hey, mom said you're going to get it. Well, that's probably not what she said. But they want to add a little something else to it. I need to check my heart as a forerunner. This is with man. You need to know if you're sent by God, verse 16 through 21. God's going to prove himself, and you and I don't need to prove ourselves to anyone. If my motive is to prove that I'm right, that's not the character of God. I just need to go in and love people enough to tell them the truth. I put some scriptures up here for you to look up later to check if you want to write those down on your notes. And the third thing is when we're sent by ourselves. Sometimes we can be led by passion, and I'm led by sight, and I'm not being led by God's word. And I want to tell you, no matter how cunning or how smart we are, if I'm sent by myself, I can tell you I'm not going to have peace. Nobody else is going to have peace. Because we can't hide things from God. He's going to know where we've gone and what we've done. And I want to just talk briefly. That's out of 2 Kings 5:21. And I want to talk to you about this because this is Gehazi, who was the servant of Elisha. You're going to see that in chapter 4 of 2 Kings, Gehazi was a man who was the forerunner. He was sent by Elisha to go. And what he did, he had seen the power. He had seen God working. And there was this widow in chapter 4 and verse 21, and her son had died, and he sends him. He said, hey, you take my staff, which represents authority. So I'm giving you, forerunner, my authority. You go to this house as quick as you can, and when you get to this child, you put this staff on their face. Well, Gehazi went and did that, but what happened was nothing. So he goes back to him and he says, hey, that didn't work. And he says, okay, I'll come. So he goes, and this is the first place I think we see CPR, the idea of CPR, in the Bible and probably in the world. And he lays himself on the boy until he becomes warm, and it says he breathes his breath in his mouth. And the child responds and wakes up. Well, here is Gehazi, and he's seen that, right? He knows the power of God. So you would think that anything that Elisha sent him to do, man, he's on board. He's going to get ready, right? Well, he comes back along in chapter 5, and here's what happens. There's a man, and he is not a believer, but one of the little handmaidens in the home, she's a believer, and she's a slave to him. So he comes in, and he gets leprosy, which is, you know, lowest of the lowest, or cast out. And he's all freaking out. How am I going to do something? She says, hey, you should go see this prophet I know, I've heard about. I believe you can be healed. So he goes. And he offers him, I'm going to give you gold. I'm going to give you silver. I'm going to give you these fine robes. I'll do whatever. He's like, no, you just need to go wash. And he's like, don't tell me to wash. Right? He's got pride. But he goes in, and the people said to him, look, what have you got to lose? That's not costing you anything. Just go in there, wash, and see what happens. And he does it, and he comes out completely whole. And I just want to say this to you as believers. If an unbeliever can have enough faith based on being desperate enough, can you and I tonight just begin to do what the Lord says because we trust him and not because we have to get that desperate? And yet I find that in my own life, sometimes to go to the deepest places, and we'll talk about this next week, John the Baptist and even Jesus as a forerunner, there's times where you have to go to the wilderness to become desperate enough to hear him, to obey. And that's where he was. So he goes and he's cleansed. So Elisha sends him on his way. He's like, dude, really, let me do something. He's like, no, you're healed. Well, Gehazi gets in there and he gets the idea. He thinks, hey, now that's not right. I'm going to go over there and I'm going to tell him we need some of that stuff. We need this stuff. As a forerunner, guys, I can't determine if God sends me. I can't put my wisdom, my knowledge, my what I'm sight-driven by to find and do the will of God. I've got to do what he's telling me to do and not add me to the mix. And he goes out there and he stops him. He says, hey, he just lies. Hey, there's two new guys, two new prophets, so we kind of need some of this stuff. He's like, oh, well, he's so grateful. He gives it to him. And you see, Elisha didn't want the gift because he wanted to recognize that God is the gift and you don't repay God. There's nothing you can do that's going to earn what he does for you. And probably this commander was thinking, well, I gave him this, so I really earned that, right? I really paid for that. And it was just the pure mercy of God. So he comes in and he does this, and when he gets back, Elisha said, where were you? Well, I didn't go anywhere. He's lying. You can read the story. I'm making it quick. I'm summarizing it. And he says, well, what was that I saw when the man stepped down from the chariot and offered you the fine robes and the two sacks of money? What was that I saw? Listen, I want to tell you something, guys. God doesn't need to repay me for being faithful to him. Somewhere I think we've gotten a teaching that says that if I do this, I deserve that. Because if I have hard times, that's not a sign of favor in someone who serves God. But I want to tell you, the hard times are the place when it's hard for you to do the right thing and not put your spin on it and not put the world's spin on it. When you stand faithful to God, I'm telling you, in this generation, as forerunners going and doing what God says, it's like Paul Revere, I am saving someone from the battle that is coming. I'm saying to them, watch out, be careful, there's danger ahead. Nobody had to believe Paul Revere. Nobody had to believe me when I said, Mom said, get in this house, it's already dark. Nobody has to believe you when you say, guys, let's think about this. I don't want to go full speed into this. Let me reason. Let me talk with the Lord. Let me get my peace. I want to encourage you tonight, guys. Let's learn from the mistakes of people who had seen the power of God and still had come in and gotten in agreement because they didn't want to look bad, because they were facing mockery or persecution. Don't feel sorry. Don't feel sorry for the prophets of God who were imprisoned. Don't feel sorry for the apostles who were imprisoned. I'm not going to feel sorry for you when you're going through suffering and things, because His word is clear. When I suffer these things with Him, He will bless me, that He will raise me up, and that there's a benefit in that. And I think that truly the benefit is that I learn how to appreciate and love people better, because I've been hurt myself. How will I know that nurturing side of God if I have all the answers? I'll never need Him. But here we are learning tonight what we can do. Anytime we know better than God, we're in trouble. Anytime we listen to people who go outside of what God says and they want us to agree, if there's 400 guys, stand faithful. Because they still wouldn't be seeking your opinion if they didn't know that it was wrong. They'd just be done with you. There's something in the spirit of people around us that want to hear the truth. And you and I should be the forerunners to say, I'll blaze this trail to God. I'll pray and blaze this trail to God for you. But you have to walk it yourself. I can't walk it for you. And that's what's really important that you understand tonight. Anything that increases the authority of my flesh and decreases the authority of God in my life is sin. Any place that increases what I say over what God says is sin. Why? Because sin is always just going to be rebellion to what God says and what God wants to please me. That's just a very simple definition. But I want to tell you tonight, I'm not telling you about this because I want to just preach hell hot. I'm telling you this tonight because we are missing out on the favor and the blessing of God to walk in peace when we are going through things, because we try to distance ourselves and know better than He does. And you're never going to do it. The world is wanting you to get in agreement. But as people of God, I've got to be in agreement with God's word and not with their faces. Hey, we don't want conflict. We don't like it, do we? Anybody in here really enjoy it? No, but God is calling us to that place because He knows He can trust us to speak His word and to speak it with love. Well, the simple definition of sin, if you look it up, is missing the mark. But I want you to know, when we miss the mark, there's forgiveness for that missing, and that forgiveness will give me an opportunity to trust God faster and quicker, because I don't want to repeat it. Trusting anyone's wisdom or opinions over God's word is like walking down the runway of a fashion show naked, and people clapping, and you don't even realize you're not covered. The world is going to clap for you. The world is going to approve things that you do. Why? Because they want to be approved in not following God. But guys, you and I have to walk under the covering of God. And I'm not walking down a runway so people will look at me, so I'll get the applause of men. I'm trying to walk the path of life so that some will be saved, and I got to start that with me. So I'm asking you tonight, as people who are forerunners for the Word of God, if you're sent by man, you're still sent by God. Even if it's an employee, if it's a spouse, if there's something that has to be done, you still represent God. If God is leading you, as a forerunner to go and do something, walk with your heart pure before God. But by all means, don't send yourself. Because when we send ourselves, we're always going to end up in trouble. Will you stand with me tonight? I want us to learn from these mistakes from other people so we don't have to repeat them. But I am certain of this, that he who began the good work in you is going to be faithful to complete it. I think that God is doing some work in many of our lives tonight. And I want you to know, you don't have to carry the burden of making it happen. You don't have to carry the burden of being sure that you're the one that gets it through. I believe tonight the Lord is saying, come unto me, everybody who's weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And I believe this, many are weary in well-doing, but God's word says, if we don't become weary and we don't faint, that's when we're going to receive that harvest. I'm telling you tonight, thank you for standing faithful when you're weary. Thank you for remaining faithful to what you know God's called you to do, even though you're weary. And I'm going to speak life over each one of you right now. And that those weary places, those places, guys, God will show himself faithful to you. You don't need to worry about it. You can doubt God, and he's up to the challenge. You know why? Because he loves you, and he's willing to prove himself to you because he knows what's in your heart, and you have value to him. Let's give everybody else that same benefit. Let's release this. Tonight, Lord, we release our burdens, God. Whether it's something in my life or someone I'm carrying, God, I release this to you, Lord. I'm asking tonight, God, that people who are worried about the future, God, that you will go before them tonight, God, where they're standing weary about tomorrow. Lord, that you will give them the rest for today that you promised, and tomorrow there'll be more rest, and the next day, God, that you're going to supply everything that's needed. God, I just thank you that my job today is to trust you with today and praise you for tomorrow, even though I can't see it. Release the weariness off your people tonight, God, that they will be able to stand. And Father, I'm asking tonight that those, God, who become weary and well-doing, you just feel like you just keep standing firm, and yet something is pressed against you, and you just want to quit because you're weary. I ask tonight, Father, that the battle, God, that we're facing, Lord, that you will send the reinforcements and release, God, that burden off of your people, God, that we will be able to rest in knowing, God, that the battle is yours. According to Exodus 14:14, it's not mine, it's yours. I release that to you, God. Those who are fainting, God, I'm asking for Holy Spirit CPR to come in right now and to begin to renew us, God, with right thinking, God. Lord, that we'll trust you once again, not, God, doubt based on what we're seeing around us, but we'll trust you tonight, God. Let your love and mercy cover us tonight, oh God. Lord, we just pray for people tonight, God, that have become weary, God, and they have listened, God, to the world, and they've sought after peace, God, and they're disappointed. Lord, we pray right now, God, that your Holy Spirit will go in and speak life, God. Where the enemy's planning darkness and death, God, you will go in and speak life. Resurrect the seeds that have been planted in faith, oh God, tonight, Lord. Resurrect it with life-giving force. Your love, oh God. We thank you for that tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Now we're going to talk next week about a forerunner in relation to Revelation, what we should be doing. We're not running around like the guy on the street corner stands down here on Beach and Belknap. I really feel sorry for him because I know that he's doing what he really believes is right. Have you seen this guy? And he stands out there with this little megaphone and he hollers, you know, repent, don't, you're going to burn in hell. You know, I really feel sorry for him because I know he, in his mind, he thinks he's really saving people and maybe he'll save a few, but I want to tell you something. We're not going to save people by fear. That's a tactic of the enemy. We're going to save people with the truth of how much God loves them and what he wants to save them from. Amen. Be encouraged. Now, the youth they have something special that's going on upstairs tonight, and then they're going to have a little fellowship. So those who are waiting, you'll need to know that. In the foyer, Lois, if you would put out that basket, there's bread and fruit, and there's some even some Keurig hot chocolates and some teas and things. So help yourself. Amen. It's good to see you.